The views and opinions expressed by the following program are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station or the Webster Rock Hill Ministries, its management, or other host or underwriting sponsors. Programs presented on KWRHLP are for educational and entertainment purposes only. Views which are presented are for educational purposes only and are not intended to treat, diagnose, or claim any cure of disease or condition.
This is Amanda LaPlante. You're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM. I'm here today with Dr. Steve Zielinski, pharmacist and owner of Colonial Village Pharmacy in Webster Groves, Missouri. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad to have you. So Dr. Steve and I go way back, actually, back to the days when I was on many a medication and used to see him as my pharmacist over at CenterPoint. And what's interesting is as our routes, you know, we kind of diverged and I didn't see you for a few years because I got off some meds. And then we ran into each other again last year. And it's been very cool to see that you've kind of taken a different route with things, much as I had in my own life. So I'm really happy to have you on the show today and talk a little bit more about the cool things you're doing at your pharmacy.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So, all right. Why did you decide to go into pharmacy in the first place? Let's start at the beginning.
Honestly, the reason I went into it was because so I'm a third generation pharmacist.
I didn't know that.
So my grandpa's a pharmacist, my dad's a pharmacist, and then I obviously fell into that pharmacist trap as just a family calling, to be honest with you.
Family businesses are that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, and then beyond that, I have a few aunts and uncles, a few cousins, and they're all pharmacists. And, you know, a lot of my family, like my grandpa was a pharmacist, my aunt was a nurse. So a lot of just growing up around healthcare professionals, they always took care of other people. So ultimately I saw a pharmacist as a way of helping other people, and as helping other people, I could have a good living doing it.
So, and what I think is really cool is, yeah, true, but you're taking it a step further, and we're going to get into some of the reasons how and why on this show. Tell us about the vision that you have for your pharmacy, what you're trying to create with your pharmacy.
Well, I think the vision that I had was that like you said before, I worked with you before at this other pharmacy. Mm-hmm. And there it was very complicated. Like patients would come in, and from that standpoint, for example, I went from running one pharmacy to running a healthcare system, and then realizing that I missed interacting with the patients. I don't like sitting in an office. I like being with patients and working with patients and seeing them get better. And I guess in most places over time, whether you're at a community chain pharmacy or even a hospital, you know, you have to move around. And that's what they want. And I guess I started to miss that with working in a pharmacy directly with people. And then I was kind of seeing that people would just go on certain medications, they'd go back and see their doctor, the dose would be increased or decreased, and then they'd do it all again a month later.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, at some point, when is getting better the goal versus just putting on people on another medication or treating another side effect, or, you know, at what point does it actually become about actually getting the patient better? And I guess that's what kind of drew me to wanting to own my own pharmacy, because you had a time constraint on that at the chains. Like even when you had dealt with upper management at any other business, you were constantly having to look at okay, how many prescriptions could I fill? How many, texts did I have? Do I have enough staffing for this kind of thing? And ultimately, even as a pharmacy manager or director of pharmacy operations, I had my constraints to what people would allow based on the current model that we deal with our healthcare model in America. I mean, it's just, and it's not their fault. I mean, they have their constraints and their business plan and their people that they have to report to. But ultimately, I went to my own business because I felt that hopefully within me having my own business, I'd have some control over how I spent my budget.
You could dare to do things differently.
Yeah. And yeah. I guess that's exactly it. I mean, I was nervous about doing it, and until I tried it, I wasn't going to know if it was going to work or not. And I think it's working so far.
It's looking pretty good. It's looking pretty good. Yeah. I'll tell you that from an outside perspective of somebody who's been to a lot of pharmacies and like been around the block a few times with this whole healthcare model. And now with the functional and integrative model, which it's very cool to kind of see this adaptation that you're taking toward that direction. So, and I think one of my favorite the quotes that you said kind of in our pre-interview was you said you wanted to create an environment focused on wellness rather than illness.
Yeah. And what the way I looked at that is because, I mean, so much people, I can just say so much, but so, yeah. So many people look at pharmacies as where you go when you're sick. And that's when you think about sick, you think about having an illness. So when I would talk to people initially, when I bought my pharmacy, they'd say like, oh, I'd love to use my pharmacy, but I don't take any medications. I'm not sick. And I was like, okay, it kind of hit me as a business. It's like, okay, what about all these other people that aren't sick? Where do they go to stay well? And then I started thinking about wellness versus illness. And it's, you know, you're thinking about health either way, but wellness for health is a good side of health and illness is a bad side of health. It's that simple. But a lot of people, health systems, insurance companies, prescription doctors, all this stuff is thinking about illness rather than wellness.
Right. And it's an interesting, it's just a subtle shift, right? But I mean, you're right. Like people need a place to go for wellness as well. And there's so much that can be done in terms of prevention, right? And where can they go to learn about that?
And I think it's prevention, but it's also once you are diagnosed with an illness of some sort that like it's looked at like, how do I get most people want to take it like traditionally, let's just go back and look at the medical model.
Sure.
I mean, like where I came from. So like, you know, you'd come into a doctor's office, which I was across the hall from in my pharmacy, and they'd give you a diagnosis. And then based on that diagnosis, they'd give you a prescription. You'd take that to the pharmacy, right? And then you'd say, here's my prescription for my illness. Okay. And then I would go over medication, explain to you how it's supposed to work and how you're supposed to take it. And take it compliantly. And if you took it compliantly, it didn't get you better. It just prevented you from getting worse.
Right.
So the whole idea and that whole equation of what I used to do was prevent people from getting worse, not help them get better. And I guess that's where I step out and said, well, if I had my own pharmacy, what would be different about it? And how could I differentiate myself? And the way I could do that is to focus on the wellness rather than on the illness. Yes, people are still going to be sick. People are still going to want to get better. But what's next after that? And how do you help people set those goals to get better? Like, you know, if you get an antibiotic, you take it for 7 days or 14 days or 21 days, and then you're done. And then that's it. And what happens to that person after that 21 days? Do you just take it? I mean, just the infection goes away and you're good,
and
right?
Everything is magically okay again? Yeah.
Or it's not.
Or it's not.
Or it didn't work, or it wasn't the right antibiotic.
Or it had a side effect.
Or you were allergic to it, mm-hmm. And you just found out that you were allergic to it.
Sure.
And so now what do you do? So I guess that part of it is like, okay, you get better, and that's just antibiotics, but what if it's your blood pressure? What if it's your blood sugar? What if it's your cholesterol? So these things that we deal with day in and day out, everybody knows what they are. You don't take a medication just to make, you know, in 21 days and then it gets better and it's gone, right? It's
right.
Not an infection, but it's a chronic disease. But so now all these people are taking these medications and 3, 4, 5, 6 years down the road, they're still taking that medication. Then all of a sudden it doesn't work as well. And so what are they supposed to do? Or why is that? And that's where I was really interested in it because like I said, like back when I was in the hospital or working with patients, I liked working with people long term. So knowing that I liked working with people long term, I wanted to see them get better long term. But traditionally, that's not really possible.
Right.
And that kind of goes into some of the programs and services that we offer at the pharmacy. Because like long term, some of these medications, like they cause like drug-induced nutrient depletion, which means essentially is take medication long enough and sooner or later, just by the way the drug works, the way it's being utilized in your body, it has to be broken down. It has to use enzymes and vitamins and minerals to make it to clear your body.
Right. So, it needs all these different cofactors that it's going to have to steal from your body, which may or may not have enough reserves.
And your body needs those to function normally.
Correct. Right.
Or even, let's say, optimally, if you want to go to a wellness model. And if you can't, then you get these side effects. And I think that's kind of where I kind of started taking this different approach from illness to wellness, because I started noticing that if I could minimize side effects and know what was going to, I knew what was going to cause it. Or I knew what, you know, in pharmacy school, we learned this is what side effects you can expect with these medications. But then when I took it one step further to figure out, okay, what is causing that side effect within the body? And it was as easy as giving somebody a vitamin or a specific vitamin for that specific medication, and all of a sudden it was like magic, it went away. And it was fun, because it was and it made it interesting for me, because like people would say, wow, that really worked. And you don't hear that when you're taking a blood pressure medication. Oh, that really worked. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, you took your blood sugar medication. Oh, that really worked. You don't ever hear that. You don't know if it works. You can't know if it's working. But you know it's working because you're having side effects. And that's what people, I don't think, realize, is that when you start looking at the side effects of these medications, like you get low energy from some medications, or some medications cause like numbness and tingling in your fingertips.
Yeah, I've had that.
And but if you go to the doctor's office, they tell you it's it's neuropathy. And then they give you another medication for the neuropathy.
That is correct. That has happened to me.
And once again, this goes into that whole thing, like long term, like I felt like I could make a better difference in people if I had the knowledge to go with it. I could talk to people about it, had the staff to support me, so I could talk to people about it versus just filling prescriptions. And then on top of that, have supplements that could actually work better.
Yeah. And I thank God every day for people like you who are out there on the front lines and doing things like this, because I have had that exact situation you just described happen to me. And I was two medications deep before I did my own research and was able to find out about this other route and nutrient depletion and things like that, and able to go and actually do something about it for myself. But my God, just to have somebody like you to talk to take that guesswork out for someone is tremendous. So I'm excited to talk with you a little bit more about this when we come back, and we're going to dive in a little deeper with Dr. Steve Zielinski of Colonial Village Pharmacy. This is Amanda LaPlante. You're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM. See you after the break. This is Amanda LaPlante, and you're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM, and we are back with Dr. Steve Zielinski, pharmacist and owner of Colonial Village Pharmacy in Webster Groves, Missouri. Welcome back.
Well, yeah, nice to be back.
Yeah. Hey, so, all right, before the break, we were talking a little bit about drug-induced nutrient deficiency, which is a big fancy way of saying that sometimes you don't need that other medication for the side effects of that one medication. Maybe you just need a vitamin. But you do some other really interesting things that are kind of outside the box for a pharmacist. So we're just going to kind of take this conversation as it comes. But I want to start with actually the fact that you're into genomics. That's not really something I normally hear from pharmacists. And what that is and what that means to you in your pharmacy.
So there's different levels of genomics. And what that means is you can look at how a person's, when they take a medication, there's two levels of genomics. The one that I'm currently working with right now is looking at diet and exercise genomics for the moment. And then we'll probably delve into how the drugs get metabolized and how each person's metabolism of medications or supplements differ. So I guess one example would be myself, and this is why I was interested in it, is we typically do a nutrient of the month. So we'll take a supplement and see, and we'll teach my staff about it. I learn about it. We have pharmacy students from the College of Pharmacy. So we'll all learn about a nutrient. And one of them was a B complex called methyl B complex. And we had so many people getting it. Everybody said it worked so great. And it was like the best thing ever. Like, and they, some people had tried other B complexes from, you know, my other brands, like a Health Mart brand, for example, or something from CVS or Walgreens or whatever else they tried. They had tried it. And then these people were taking it and they're like, wow, that was really good. I have so much more energy. I can sleep better and all this stuff, on and on and on. So we had so many people on it. And I was just like, well, at one point I was just like, okay, well, if all these people are having it and I'm tired and I don't have enough energy because I'm trying to run my business day to day, then maybe I should take it too. So I go ahead and take it. And I took it for about a week or 2 weeks and I hated it. It was awful. And I was like, this doesn't make any sense. How can all these people, you know, I'm talking like 12 to 20 people a month buying this stuff. And I was just like, well, if all these people are really liking it and I'm taking it, I don't feel like that. That's kind of weird.
Like, what's going on here?
I don't get it. Like, I could not understand it. And then I do some studying and learning and go to conferences and stuff and learn about the supplements and vitamins. And somebody said, well, you possibly have this genetic mutation or SNP. It's SNP, which stands for single nucleotide polymorphism. But really it's a genetic mutation where I can't metabolize.
I am also a mutant. I prefer variation. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I don't know. I'm a fan of X-Men, so I like the idea to think them.
All right, go with it.
In a small way.
All right, so you have the SNP and...
Yeah, so I have the SNP, and when I take methylcobalamin, I can't metabolize it like everybody else. So when I take it, it doesn't get broken down. It stays in my system longer, and it causes side effects. So I feel agitated and anxious about stuff. And not because I took something bad, but because my body doesn't handle it the same way as everybody else. So I get a side effect of a supplement. So at least I know it's getting absorbed, right? I know it's getting into my system and I know it's doing something because I can actually feel it. And it's weird because, I mean, most people take supplements and they don't know why they're taking it or if they feel different or indifferent or either way. But I felt worse. And so I stopped taking it and it's like, okay, well, what do I do? So I went back to the drawing board and I found out that a test by 23andMe, you can get, it's a saliva test. You put a saliva sample and you mail it in and then you get your results back. Well, you can take that and I can plug that into a calculator for myself and find out, oh, these are the genetic variances, as you would say, or differences that I have that makes me unique. And so I looked at it and I was like, oh, okay, so based on this, I need this. And then it would tell me that this is why, you know, and beyond just that piece of data, it'd give me information like, okay, this is why this diet won't work for me, or this is why I need to add this to my diet because I can't absorb this cofactor or this vitamin or this enzyme. I can't get this stuff from my food. It's just not possible for my body to accept it.
Right. And that's what happened to me. I was on, you know, one of the many medications I used to pick up from you was for anxiety, mood stabilization, and depression. And it turned out that I just had a B vitamin deficiency because of the MTHFR mutation variations that I have. See, I started being a mutant there too, but I had several of these and, I couldn't absorb B vitamins and methylate them properly. So for me, taking that methylated B complex really did change my life. I now I don't need any of those medications that I needed before. It's amazing.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
It is really amazing. And so what I love about your story is, okay, so you took the same thing, whereas it was life-changing for me, it was maybe not so great for you, and it actually created anxiety, whereas it took mine away.
Yeah.
So it's just fascinating to get into these genomics and the SNPs and variations and the things that we're starting to understand about those. And I love that you're diving in and helping people with that testing and with those lines.
Well, I mean, I think one thing I like to try to do is put myself in patient's shoes at sometimes. Like, I mean, obviously I'm not you, I'm not, you know, I don't know everything, but like what I try to do is like try to understand it myself from a patient standpoint. And the only way I can do that is if I'm my own patient. So I try to make sure that if I'm going to recommend something to somebody else, that it's something that I'm actually doing. So I'm not just going to tell somebody, take this vitamin and,
same here,
you know, or do this diet or do this exercise and then not do it myself. I mean, so it's like how, you know, it's If you're trying to get into this wellness mode and you're trying to teach people how to be well, it's kind of hard for you not to drink your own Kool-Aid, I guess.
Yeah, I agree entirely. I am my own guinea pig.
Yeah.
Research-based, and then I'll try things. And yeah, and then you can speak from perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's really valuable, and there's more empathy in that. And I think people understand and feel that. All right, so genomics, but also being in Missouri. One of the other things that we've talked about before is mold versus allergens and some different things that you do at your pharmacy to help people and support them around those issues.
Okay. So with mold and allergies, it's really interesting in St. Louis because about a year ago, I really didn't understand it as well as I needed to. And people would come in and we brought in some supplements, and some were antifungals and some were another substance called mast cell stabilizers, which prevent histamines from being released in general. So, you know, from illness versus wellness, or going back to like what caused it initially, I just had to kind of dive into it deeper and have a better understanding of the differences between, especially in Missouri, because Missouri is pretty different from other places. You have a lot of people that will come here, even from like New York or from Arizona, they come here and all of a sudden their allergies go crazy. And the question is okay, what's going to work? Like, I don't want to recommend something that's not going to work. So one thing that I've actually been doing is I cheat, I'll be honest. So St. Louis County, if you go like mold counts in St. Louis and just Google that, what I've been able to do is look at pollen and mold counts on a daily basis in St. Louis. So a lot of times when people come in and it's now allergy season, so when we think of allergy season, we think of like the pollen in the trees, and that is allergens, and those are the allergens that most people react to, and that's where they need their typical Zyrtec or Claritin or Flonase, because it's an antihistamine, because stopping the histaminic reaction. Well, on the other side of it, we have mold. Well, mold is a fungus. So as a fungus, your allergy medications really may help a little bit if there's a touch of both, but they don't always work. And I think that's one of those issues that, you know, I talked about, touched on like antibiotics a little bit earlier. It's really interesting when I see somebody come into the pharmacy and they're taking this medication for a sinus infection. And ultimately they think that because it's a sinus infection, it must be a bacteria infection. So that antibiotic should work. But what do you do when it doesn't work? Typically I think, well, that bacteria was resistant to that antibiotic, right? So the doctor, they go back to the doctor, and they go back, and the doctor gives them a different antibiotic. Well, that didn't work either. And they try something else, and something else, and something else, and nothing works. Well, this is where I had to cheat, because, I mean, I'm just saying that maybe it's the antibiotic not working.
Well, right, right.
But yeah. In reality, I started looking at, like, the mold counts. And so when people would come in and say, well, my antibiotic's not working, I'd look and see, well, there's no pollen counts at all. So the way it's used is like you can see if it's low, medium, or high. Well, if it's high, then that's when I'd recommend like something to treat the mold. Or when I think of mold, you think of mushrooms or you think of funguses. So
yeah.
It's the same thing in your sinuses. I mean, you have a wet, mucousy area. Snot, right?
Yeah.
and you have these areas that just can pocket. It's warm. It's moist. It's a perfect
place for fungus.
Exactly.
Yeah. And those are not fungi.
No, they
are
not.
Yeah. And that's, I'm so glad that you talked about that, because I can't tell you how many people in my family or just people that I run into that are like, oh, I've got a sinus infection again. It's my third antibiotic. And I'm like, you're killing all your friendly gut bacteria, and you're not killing what you need to kill that's up there in your sinuses, most likely.
Right. And that's where I think we just looked at having specific supplements for sinus infections versus allergens or allergies, because and sometimes you use both. Sometimes I want to prevent the allergies. And the other thing with allergies too that a lot of people don't really think about is like the dairy allergies and stuff like that. And
that's very mucus producing.
That, you know, I can't tell you how many times I could give my 1 and 2 year olds milk and all of a sudden they'd have a running nose. They weren't outside. They weren't out playing in the yard, but their nose would start running. And I'd noticed that. And I was just like, wait a second. That has to be an allergy too.
And the things that you notice are what makes you incredible at what you do. And I'm so glad that you came on today. Unfortunately, we're at time,
okay. But
I would love to have you on again and continue the conversation.
Sure, this would be fun.
Yeah. So let everyone know how they can get in touch with you.
Well, you can find us on the web at colonialvillagerx.com. We're locally located in Webster Groves on Big Bend. Our address is 7945 Big Bend Boulevard. If you Google us, you'll find our address. And we're actually easier to find on Google than we are on Big Bend because there's so many other businesses around there. So I honestly just would go to Google and just Google us at Colonial Village Pharmacy.
All right, great. Thanks so much, Dr. Steve Zielinski, pharmacist and owner of Colonial Village Pharmacy in Webster Groves, Missouri. Thanks again for being on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was fun.
Absolutely. So this is Amanda LaPlante. You've been listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM. For more information about health coaching or to contact me, please reach me online at amandalaplante.com or find me on Facebook at Get Real to Heal. You can also call me for a free 30-minute consultation at 314-583-6749. And don't forget to check out this and other episodes of Get Real to Heal on soundcloud.com/getrealtoheal. Make it a great day.